God reigns. Our God reigns.
I'd like to start by reading one of the most amazing verses in all of the scripture that shows a direct connection between our faithfulness to God and social distress. There's many places in the Bible that we can read. The one that I want to focus on is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 2 through 6. We see some great universal truths that apply to every situation and to all people at any time and in every place. It says in verse 2, "The Lord is with you while ye be with him." What a wonderful promise. The Lord is with you while we are with him. We have the assurance that God is with us and that we are never alone. We have the promise that our divine helper will always be by our side. That's the first part. That's the first part of verse 2. It says, "The Lord is with you while ye be with him." Now, notice the next part. "And if you seek him, he will be found of you." Here we have another wonderful promise. If we seek him, he will be found of you. You know, many times we wonder, is it too late? Is it too late for God to work it out for me? Many times we wonder, maybe God can't hear me anymore, or he won't hear me anymore. Maybe my sins are too great. You know, I know what I am capable of doing, and I know what I do, and that would make God turn away from me. And yes, many times we do feel this way. But the assurance of God's word says, if we seek him, he will be found of you. But now there's a third part to this verse of 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 2 that is just as true as these first two parts we just read. And the last part of this verse says, "But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." This is another truth that is ignored and rejected today. If we forsake him, he will forsake you. This is a time for praying, a time for mourning, a time for weeping, because we as a nation, as a whole, are forsaking God. Notice how God's word continues to build on that reality. It says in verse 3, "Now for a long season Israel has been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law." What kind of condition? What was the social condition of Israel, the spiritual condition of Israel at this time? They were without the true God. They were without a teaching priest, and they were without law. What a horrible, terrible condition to be in. Oh, but friends, we don't have to imagine what that must be like. We have it today. That is what we can see all around us. We are a nation that is supposed to be a nation of law, but we're living in a period of great lawlessness. We have legislation that has been designed to remove God from our lives, to remove him from our society, to remove him from our institutions and from the life of our nation. This verse is not just a story of something that transpired thousands of years ago. This has apocalyptic end time implications. Paul reminds us that all these things, that the experiences of the nation of Israel, is for our admonition. Not only were they without the law, but they were without a teaching priest. Oh, brothers and sisters, we're there too. We don't have many preachers and teachers and leaders who are teaching us the truth as it is in Christ. We don't have the type of teaching that will help us to understand what God requires of us in relation to his moral law. You see that in verse 3. And these changes from verse 3, when Israel was without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law, was reflected in verse 5. Let me read to you verse 5 of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. It says, "And in those times There was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Oh, brothers, what kind of society, what kind of civilization did they have? Oh, the Bible says there was no peace. No one was safe. And friends, we're there today. We're there. We have homeland security, and they cannot keep you safe. You're not safe on the streets. Citizens are not safe. You know, the police are not safe. Our soldiers aren't safe. Nobody is. We have these international organizations such as the United Nations. We have NATO. We have the European Union. And these institutions cannot keep us safe. We're reminded of Psalms chapter 127 and verse 1. Unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh in vain. You know, think about that. We have the Department of Homeland Security. We have the, which is the DHS. We also have the DEA. We have the FBI. We have the NSA, the CIA, the ATF, the CDC, the TSA, the FDA. And in spite of all that, we're not safe. Why is that, my brothers and sisters? Because we're living in an unprecedented period of lawlessness. Today, there are forces that are working to bring waste and ruin to our great nation. And the principles of freedom, the rule of law, both civil and moral law, and our Judeo-Christian heritage is under attack. We don't realize the source of where all this comes from. I'm reading now from the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 12, and it says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time." And I know that in verse 17, we see where the focus of that wrath, that hatred that he has, we see where it's centered. He's making war. If you read Revelation 12:17, he's making war against the commandment keepers, but not all of them. Not the quiet ones. Not the ones who don't say anything. But to those who are calling the attention of the world to God's standard of truth and righteousness. And we know that the devil is furious against those who are lifting up that standard of truth in these last days. And who are proclaiming this message in a loud voice. And you know, as we get closer to the end of time, Satan's wrath will be unleashed in an unprecedented way, because he is the chief architect that is stirring this red hot rage and anger and division. The Bible says he's come down upon you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Satan is filled with wrath because his end is coming, and he's filling the minds of men and women with wrath. And this is evident when we see the division in America and the resistance and the fighting and the riots and the hate and the violence that has been building up. Now, since we're on the subject of wrath and hate and anger, let me just tell you what God says about hate. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." God makes it very clear. If you have hate in your heart towards anyone, God considers that as equal to murder, and no murderer is going to have everlasting life. Friends, hate is hate. And yes, it includes racism, or what we can call interracial hate and violence, but it also includes the more popular, regular hate and violence, which is the intraracial hate, or the hate that is manifested and the violence that is seen within the same race. Hate is hate in God's eyes. And it doesn't matter if it's the hate that exists between one race and another, or the hate that exists within the same race. And it doesn't matter where the hate is. And it doesn't matter how it's manifested. Now, why do I say that? Why do I bring that out? Oh, friends, because nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about this. Let me read to you something that comes from CBS News. And they are reporting on a study that was released by the Justice Department. This is called the Bureau of Justice Statistics Report. And it offers us a view or an understanding of violent crime in America. Now, I'm reading from this. If you want to read this, I will put a link to this article. It will be in the audio description on the website. But basically it says, and I'm quoting, most of the black murder victims, 93%, were killed by other black people, the study found. The same is true for whites, and the same is true for Hispanics. The report says about 85% of white victims were slain by other white people. That's what you call intra-race violence, or violence that exists within the same race. So this report says that 93% of blacks who are murdered in this nation were victimized by people of their own race. Imagine that. It is horrible to consider intra-race hate or violence that takes place within the same race. And this is a news item that was published by CBS, which gives statistics from the Justice Department about violent crimes. I realize that this is not being discussed today because it doesn't fit the political narrative of the mainstream media. But the devil doesn't care. You know, the devil doesn't care what kind of hate you manifest. And God doesn't care what kind of hate you manifest. God says if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. And no murderer is going to heaven. And what is the cause? What is the cause of violence within the same race? Well, the report also gives some information. The National Urban League president, a respected leader in the black community, he says, and I quote, "The mixture of illegal drugs, easy access to handguns, and young men who feel locked out of the economic opportunity is what these statistics reflect." So in other words, it's drugs, easy access to guns, and poverty. Well, I will add a little more to the list because I believe that Hollywood is helping to perpetuate the savagery that is glorifying violence, not just among one class, but upon all of society. Television and entertainment is filled with killings and shootings. And then when you consider the violent video games that are training our young people and our children in the arts of assassination, our generation has become desensitized to violence as we are constantly being flooded with aggressive behavior by the entertainment industry. And how about the music industry? How about the gangster rap, which glorifies violence, killings, drug use, these things which are played out again and again and again? What effect does that have on the minds of these young people? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is." Now, if they're thinking righteousness, then that's what they're going to be. But if they're thinking unrighteousness, murders and killings and hatred, if that's what they're thinking in their minds and in their hearts, well, that's what they're going to be. And brothers and sisters, all the kids are doing this. All the kids are listening to this. And it's not just the kids here in America. It's the kids all around the world. We have created a society that is based on violence and mental illness, and everyone is suffering. We are fulfilling the very same description found in the book of Genesis chapter 6, where it says in verse 5, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart." And why? What did God see? Well, verse 5 says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually." What kind of evil? Verse 11 says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." The earth back then was filled with the same hatred, the same death, the same violence, the same injustice, the same inter-race hate and intra-race violence. Today, this same culture that we see in the book of Genesis chapter 6 is live here. And we become just as we've been reading from the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. There is no more safe place anymore. We're not safe in the cities. We're not safe in the countries. The kids are not safe in the schools. People aren't safe in their churches. Have you heard about the shootings in the churches? The shootings in the schools, in the malls, in the theaters, in the parks, in the concert halls, in the clubs, in the restaurants, and even in the workplace. In all of these locations, there have been violent acts of terror and mass shootings. And this is a kind of wickedness that is the ruin of any human society. But what is the cause? We read it in 2 Chronicles. They were without God, without a teacher and preacher of righteousness, and without law. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9 says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Isaiah 24 and verse 4 and 5 says, "The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant." Oh, brothers and sisters, we have failed to identify that there is a direct correlation between the increase in violence and the loss of values, the disregard of the sanctity of life, the lack of parenting, and the degradation of morality is the cause and the reason. It says in 1 Kings chapter 18 in verse 18, where Elijah says, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that they have forsaken the commandments of the Lord." Brothers and sisters, write these verses down. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 3 and 4. Read 1 Kings 18, 18, Isaiah 24, 4 and 5, Isaiah 30 and verse 9. It is the disregard to the moral law of God that these heinous acts have come close to our homes. We are contending with brute beasts and demon-filled murders. You want me to read that to you? You want me to read that to you? Okay, let me read that to you. Bible Commentaries, Volume 4. Page 1142. This is what we are contending with. This is what we are seeing. And I quote, "Satanic agencies in human form will take part in this last great conflict to oppose the building up of the kingdom of God." Who is going to take human form and get involved in manifesting this wrath towards humanity? Satanic agencies. Here's the next paragraph. It says, "Two opposing parties will continue to exist till the closing up of the last great chapter in this world's history." Satanic agencies are in every city, and we cannot afford to be off our guard for one moment. So, brothers and sisters, we are contending with demon-filled perpetrators who have no regard and no respect for life. The plague of violence that fills the earth is one that should not exist. And we have been given the remedy to stop all of this insanity. Sadly, those who are removing God and his moral law from society are the ones who are responsible for sowing the seeds of a terrible harvest of death and destruction. I'm reading from the book Great Controversy, page 585. It says, those who teach the people to regard lightly the commandments of God sow disobedience to reap disobedience. Let the restraint imposed by the divine law be wholly cast aside, and human laws would soon be disregarded. What were we told over 100 years ago? That when you remove God's moral law, what's the next thing to fall? Human laws will be disregarded. Because, and I'm going to continue reading here, because God's law forbids dishonest practices, coveting, lying, defrauding, and men, and I can add to that, murder and hate. And men are ready to trample upon his statutes as a hindrance to their worldly prosperity. But the results of banishing these precepts would be such as they do not participate. Who's responsible for turning our world into a den of assassins? Who's responsible for seeing peace and happiness forfeited from society? It's those who teach the people to regard lightly the commandments of God. You see, we don't have teaching priests. We don't have preachers of righteousness. And it's these pastors and these teachers that don't emphasize the moral principle of God's law. Great Controversy 585 continues, lawlessness, dissipation, and corruption are sweeping in among us like an overwhelming tide. The infatuation of vice, the wanton taking of life, the terrible increase of intemperance and iniquity of every order and degree should arouse all who fear God and inquire what can be done to stay the tide of evil. Oh, I will tell you what can be done to stay the tide of evil. It's when the principles of truth and righteousness and justice are set aside, the door is open for the prince of darkness to do his work. When God's law and gospel are rejected, there's nothing left to stay the workings of radicalism, extremism, hate, violence, and terrorism. Oh, Satan is mesmerizing and deceiving the people and bringing a great curse upon the land. And if we don't wake up, if we don't arouse ourselves together, things are not going to get any better. Crisis after crisis, tragedy after tragedy, and riots after riots will only continue. And you know, friends, God is the one who is emphasizing this. God is the one who identifies the root of our problems. And in his great love and mercy, he offers to us the only solution that can prevent the complete and final desolation of our nation. No political scientist, no seasoned politician, no constitutional scholar, and none of these weak, cowardly preachers can lay out with such accuracy the very root of our problem and offer real solutions. Let me read to you from Maranatha 146. It says, anarchy is seeking to sweep away all law, not only divine, but human. Brothers and sisters, divine law and human law, they stand together. When one falls, the other follows. Now I'm reading from the book of Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 19. It says, hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words nor my law, but rejected it. God's Ten Commandment moral law is an immutable standard designed to restrain men and women from indulging in violence, debauchery, immorality, and other destructive conduct. The moral code is being rejected while sin is being exalted and promoted and legalized by corrupt politicians. Why are they allowed to do this? Because we don't have the preaching priests of righteousness today. The cause of all the broken homes and all the civil unrest is due to the fact that we no longer believe God's standard of truth and morality. We believe that truth is relative and that there is no right and wrong. Sin and lawlessness is not just limited to hate and violence and racism. Oh, brother, it also includes the murder of the innocent, including the unborn. That is part of the great moral issue. The great moral collapse of society also includes the sexual revolution. The family is under attack by radical feminism and the role reversals of every institution that God has given us. They are turning men into women and women into men. Then we have the LGBT movement, and their ultimate objective is to destroy the foundation of the family and to destroy the foundation of marriage, to revolutionize society, and to change what God has established in the beginning. And this is something I cannot stress enough. If we don't preach morality, what's the alternative? Immorality. And sadly, that is a result of our silence on the moral issues of God's law. Is it because we really don't believe Him? Or do we just not care for souls? And we just don't care if they're lost? This moral decay is predicted in prophecy and is the heart of the message found in the three angels of Revelation chapter 14 and verses 6 to 12. And the message says, fear God and give glory to Him and worship Him who made the heavens and the earth. It takes us back to Genesis. It takes us back to creation. And this truth must be given with a loud voice at this very time. If this message does not penetrate the hearts and the minds of our citizens and of our people, then anarchy, war, violence, hatred will continue to flood the streets of our nation and of the world. It's painful enough to see the chaos enveloping our world. But what's even more painful is the fact that truth is being distorted. The moral principles of God are being hidden, and they're not being discussed or emphasized so that we can have true lasting healing to our people. The book Desire of Ages, page 635, we read, the world full of rioting, full of godless pleasure, is asleep. Asleep in carnal security. Why, my brothers, I ask, why? It says, men are putting afar off the coming of the Lord. They laugh at warnings. The proud boast is made. All things continue as they were from the beginning. Tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. She continues to say here in Desire of Ages 635, when the scorner, the rejecter of truth, has become presumptuous, when the routine of the work in the various money-making lines is carried on without regard to principle, when the student is eagerly seeking knowledge of everything but his Bible, Christ comes as a thief. Yes, my brothers and sisters, there is a satanic wrath, as we read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12 and 17, that is attacking our society, our nation, our churches, our families, and our people as individuals. There's an attempt to eradicate every trace of Christianity from our society. It's horrible. There's little doubt that the Judeo-Christian values of our nation are being abandoned. We're told in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation. And where does righteousness come from? It comes from reading God's word. It is these values that makes any nation great. And what we are seeing today is a complete rejecting of those founding principles. There is a deep-seated antagonism and hostility towards God's word and anything Christian. Volume 8 of the Testimonies, page 49, tells us, I was shown that a terrible condition of things exists in our world. The angel of mercy is folding her wings, ready to depart. Already the Lord's restraining power is being withdrawn from the earth. The law of God is made void. We see and hear of confusion and perplexities, want and famine and earthquakes and floods. Terrible outrages will be committed by men. Oh, we've been seeing that. We have been seeing this. And she concludes by saying, passion, not reason, bears sway. That's exactly what we've been seeing in these last couple of weeks. And what is the answer? What is the answer? We have the answer. God gave it to us over 100 years ago. And it's found in the three angels' messages. It is a call to reflect His character, to receive His righteousness. And then obedience to God's commandments will become the fruit of that wonderful experience. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, that we still have a nation to wake up to every day. Lord, we ask that your Spirit will continue to strive with the hearts of men and women. Help us to realize, Lord, that your ways are greater than our ways. Help us to realize that you have given us your word not as a restriction to our liberties, but to guarantee that we can have the highest possible peace and freedom. Oh Lord, give us the strength and the courage to teach your word, for it is your word, as described in John 6:63, where Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Oh Lord, may your word grant to us that spiritual renewal and a new life of purity and freedom and victory. It is your word, Lord, that can raise the dead and that can calm the winds and that could stop the flood. It is your word, Lord, that constrains the hearts of evil men from passing a certain limit. May your word bring illumination and sanctification in the hearts of our people. May you lift up our sinful lives that are dead in trespass and sin through the power of your divine grace. That is our desire. We ask all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Till the storm passes over.